much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It is official, ladies and gentlemen. It is official. This is beautiful. This is just beautiful. About damn time. About damn time. Oh my goodness. Oh Lord. Oh, this is beautiful.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just realized my mic was nowhere near you when I was interviewing you.
Because you're a stoner. Because you're the biggest stoner in the world.
How do you let this guy out of the studio, really?
Bravo! Bravo! If I wasn't driving, I'd give you a standing ovation. I almost crashed my car. Well played. Bravo! Good work, everybody. Take the rest of the day.
And now.
Okay, you know what? Take your first name, okay? Take your first name and take your second name. You know what that is? It's your hooker name because you're a foul street hooker.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 29th of January.
Kevin, you're not sick, are you?
No. Feel good.
Seen you cough a couple times already since you got here, and I'm just thinking we're getting into a tube of death today.
No, I'm good.
And then close quarters the rest of the week. Don't bring your black plague into the studio.
I said I'm good. I'm not sick.
Allie, what do you think?
I didn't even really hear him cough.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And, hey, Mr. All Alone 99.9% of the time, let's maybe zip it about the close quarters.
I'm just saying. You know what? Patient zero to infect the team is what I'm saying.
I am not
Atlanta.
Patient zero.
Says the bubble boy.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I have a question before we get started here.
Okay.
Kevin, you've known me for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, a few years now?
4.
Jensen, we've, I would say, worked 10. Fairly close together for a number of months now.
Yeah, but I've known you overall about 10 years.
You have, yeah.
You met him once.
Okay,
let's go.
That is what knowing Bean is.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. We texted.
Bean's best friend.
You're his nephew.
Would you guys agree that I have been popping since my demo?
What?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, I would.
That's all I was looking for is just sort of.
Was that the lead up to
this? Some backup? Yeah.
Well played, sir.
Okay. That was in the news yesterday and for a very funny reason that we may discuss later.
Oh, wow.
All right. Here's the story to get us going. I don't think we talked about it at the time. There was a bridezilla whose requests for her wedding party's outfits went viral.
Okay.
A few months ago. Hey, everyone, who's ready for Hawaii 2019 in anticipation of the weather, the wedding? And believe me, I know it's a long way, but I would still like to announce the dress code. I am giving you a long notice of a year and a half so that you have time to find and pick out something nice. The dress code is very specific because it will be used to create an incredible visual effect. If done right, it will make our synchronized dancing along the beach really pop.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, no. Oh, that's not the worst part.
It's not the worst part.
What?
So she goes on and she lays out a dress code for everyone involved in the wedding party, including the children, by the way, who have to be dressed in red from head to toe. Remember, the kids will form the shape of a heart, so it needs to be true red, not blood orange or some S. She also separates the outfits that she is requiring by weight. So women, 100 to 160 pounds...
Crap.
Have to wear a green velvet sweater with orange suede pants, Louboutin. Is that how you pronounce it, Ellie?
Sure.
Louboutin
yep.
heels,
yeah,
the famous red-heeled shoes. When we spin and lift our feet, the effect will amaze you, and a Burberry scarf. And then it just goes on to list all of what everybody has to wear.
I'm immediately calling in sick to that wedding. How long? A year and a half?
Yeah.
I'm really going to be sick that month.
You're
sorry,
sick
can't
now,
make
yeah.
it. Additionally, we will require that you wear formal attire after the dancing has ended. Have you ever heard this before? Please bring a change of clothing.
What?
Remember, the venue is extremely upscale, and we want to be looking our absolute best, ladies and gents. So please, if you look like trash, so will we.
Oh man.
And here's the part that really made it go viral. And by the way, as you'll soon learn, it was one of her bridesmaids that put this up to mock the wedding of the woman that she was in the wedding party.
Well done.
Good.
All jokes aside, we want you to invest in an outfit valued at least $1,000.
What?
She put a dollar limit on it?
Why not? She put a weight limit on it.
Oh, my God.
This includes...
Incredible bitch.
includes jewelry, wow, accessories, makeup, and hair. Remember, ladies and gents, this wedding is 24K themed for a reason. You have a year and a half, so get working. No excuses. Mwah. All right. So that was then. Now, as I mentioned, the bridesmaid leaked that onto the internet and went viral. So what did Bridezilla decide to do? She decided to polygraph the members of her wedding party.
Oh, my God.
To find the snitch.
I love her so much.
Oh, many of y'all, well, then you should marry her,
what,
Kevin.
Horrible,
there may still be time.
Yeah.
Many of y'all have been asking how Saturday's polygraph party went. It was fantastic. Attendance was 100%. The $99 polygraph machine from Amazon was a bit essy, but it did the job. I asked y'all simple questions such as, did you leak my dress code to the internet, and do you secretly hate me?
God.
Which I think is a question you want to be asking the people who are standing up for you at your wedding. Friends, it is with only the deepest joy that I can announce the identification of the snitch. My former friend Stephanie was immediately removed from my property.
Oh, Stephanie, 2020.
She's the lucky one, right?
Yes. She could. I hope all the other members of the wedding party walk out in support of Stephanie, and this lady has no one at her wedding. She confessed to leaking my post and ridiculing me online. My original dress code has gone viral because of her, and the outside world will never effing understand, thanks to Stephanie. Good riddance. Good riddance. Now the Hawaii 2019 wedding can go on.
Unreal.
Wow.
She's a sociopath and a bitch.
Wow.
Do you think it's real?
I do.
Yes.
Really?
I do.
It's not, because there's been TV shows about these people, it's not that hard to believe that bridezillas go so far over the top, and maybe even 5 years later they go, what was I thinking?
But you're saying this woman is so awful, you can't believe it's real.
Yes.
I agree.
You think it's
exaggerated? I think it's real.
Oh, well, I think it's absolutely real.
I wish it wasn't.
By the way, she did do a dress code update with the polygraph results. Please submit photos of your synchronized dancing outfits no later than 1 month from now. I will be telling each and every one of you what is wrong and how to improve it.
What? No. No.
So,
you don't buy it? Because
the double
of that?
Down? No. The double down?
Everything. Polygraph from... First of all, if she's got this much money, she's not getting a $99 polygraph test.
You think she's hiring a dude to come in and do it for reals?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because she's 24K, B.
Yeah,
she is 24K.
I call BS on this whole thing.
Interesting. $99,
really?
That's a good one.
Good creative writing, if so.
I think she's absolutely real. I really do. Have you met a bride?
I have.
I mean, I don't think you could say a bride, because most brides aren't that.
Yeah, I've also met bridesmaids that would put her in her place immediately.
Team Stephanie.
Yeah, 10 friends would not put up with that crap.
Mm-hmm. And they may not, by the way, but...
Yeah.
But for our own enjoyment, we want it to
totally
be real,
right?
Yeah, I know her. Yeah, we need content.
Mm-hmm. I know her, you said, Ellie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No, screw that noise.
There's an old couple in Michigan, I believe it is, that figured out how to win the lottery.
And I'm very intrigued by this. I went out of my way to not watch 60 Minutes this week because I want you to tell me all about it.
A bunch of different lottery wins added up to $26 million.
No way.
Yep. Hmm. Why does Allie love murder?
I mean...
Part of a bigger question, why do women seem to all love murder?
Women seem to be the gender that gravitates towards true crime.
Why?
Murder is very hot right now.
Yes, never been hotter.
No.
It's really having a moment.
Bean found a ludicrous writer, which is the list of things that he needs to show up and play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're as bad as the bride we were just talking about.
Oh.
Luda.
I still think we should come up with all this stuff and have Luda come by and perform while we're in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Let's get 15 minutes of Ludacris on our show if we can get this writer together.
I mean, he just walks around Atlanta looking for shows.
Right? Yeah. Right?
Who's got my writer?
Looking for groceries to pay for. It's just what he does.
Also, we have Death Cab for Cutie tickets at the Hollywood Bowl August 11th, and you qualify to see them again in Sydney, Australia. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. Young the Giant on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
We are headed to snowy Atlanta today, broadcasting live Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Why are you laughing, Allie?
I'm just wondering, in your heart of hearts, do you think that maybe you jinxed it by saying Hotlanta so much?
Interesting.
No, I believe Atlanta has a long history of snow in January.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have snowed this day had you not mocked it with your Hotlanta.
The actual day that we're arriving, it's going to be snowing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Brought to you by TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. We're going to be broadcasting live Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I think we're going to get us a piece of that Radio Row that maybe some people have seen on TV, which is just like 1,000 people in... the size of a parking space.
Yeah, it's fun.
all trying to get interviews and be interviewed. So that's not going to be nerve-wracking.
If you've ever wanted to interview Sterling Sharp while wearing a Colgate shirt,
right?
We have the best place for you.
So we have no idea what's going to come out of it, but we thought we'd give it a try because Rams are in the Super Bowl, so why not, right?
Yeah.
Right. All right. Allie is here with our first look at what's happening here on this Tuesday.
You want to talk about a little betting for the Super Bowl?
Sure. Yeah.
The American Gaming Association conducted a survey that says 22.7 million Americans plan to place a wager on the Super Bowl. It's a pretty good number, right?
Yeah. Sure.
People plan to wager $6 billion on the game. Not, you know, on average, that's
each
just
person?
All together. Oh, okay. Yeah, all together. Absolutely.
I'm putting down $9 billion on the
Are
Rams.
You?
Yeah.
Raise that. Insane.
Going for it.
Here's something interesting. According to this survey, 52% said they will bet on the Rams.
That surprises me very much.
Yeah.
Because I think, as RJ always tells us from pregame.com, you know, the average bettor just kind of knows the headlines. And mm-hmm. even a casual football fan knows that the Patriots go a lot and win a lot.
Well, maybe there's Patriot hate mixed in there.
Yeah. Well, and just ask them. The Patriots are underdogs. They'll all tell you.
Sure.
Woo!
Do you think, Kevin, that people do? Of course they do. They let their emotions get in the way of their betting.
Sure.
Because that's a dumb way to bet.
Yeah, of
which
course.
Team you like.
It's the worst way.
Yeah. Either that or betting for your mortgage. Those are probably the two worst ways to bet. Yeah.
Yikes. I think we just described Beer Mug's whole betting.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Sorry, Mugs. Guys, Fans Warped Tour is going to return this summer at 3 locations in the United States.
I thought they closed that down.
Well, it's over, but this is their 25th anniversary celebration. So last year was the last Vans Warped Tour.
Okay.
But then
so then there was no
25th.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was not 1 year that went by without it?
No.
Well, that's not ending it then.
Right.
Kids got an emo.
So we now have the dates and the locations of the 3 cities. June 8th at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. June 29th and 30th at Atlantic City Beach in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And July 20th and 21st at Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California.
What about us? What about here?
This is what I'm saying.
What?
We didn't get it.
Do we know who's playing?
Full list of bands will be announced on March 1st. But, I mean, we do cool things down here.
We deserve a show.
We're pretty Vanny warped stuff, right?
I'm not sure that helped our cause.
Okay. All right. That's just kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But they did say that the majority of bands that have been playing the whole time have come from the Bay Area, so maybe that has something to do with it?
Sure.
Whatever. We have better skaters down here. So suck it, Northern California. You're not as hella good as us. They still say hella up there?
No, it's been a while.
Since the 90s?
Not since the early 90s.
Really? Okay. And just a quick update, you guys. I had told you about the girl that plays young Kate on This Is Us.
The one with the Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, she sent out a tweet that said, if anyone's at the SAG Awards and wants some Girl Scout cookies, I'm at table 34. Very, very much a side hustle that did pretty well
really
for her.
Really smart. Mm.
She sold around $500 worth of Girl Scout cookies at the awards on Sunday night. So congratulations, Mackenzie. That's pretty good,
that
right?
That is pretty good.
I have no comment as to who might have bought those.
Moving on. Kevin, as someone that has daughters, were they ever Girl Scouts?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, did you get suckered into bringing that to work?
Will someone buy my Girl Scout cookies?
I did not, but I would have.
I like when people bring them into work.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh, for sure.
I'm buying them.
Oh, I'm telling you this because I used to send my dad into Cedar Sinai with it. Yeah. And you don't think my dad would look at his employees and be like, I'm your boss. You want some cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got so many patches. You know what I got a badge for, Bean?
Banging?
Yep.
That is not the delivery that we've come to know and love.
Well, it should have been questionable. I was talking about when I was a brownie, which is way before being a Girl Scout.
And I withdraw my answer.
Okay. Yes, you should. That whole, let's strike that whole conversation
baking. Is what
baking.
I said.
Yeah. Indeed. Some birthdays for you. Adam Lambert, Justin Hartley from This Is Us, Tom Selleck, Heather Graham, Sarah Gilbert, Edward Burns, and Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah, Nopra.
Okay, and that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Kevin is going to tell us how we can all quit our dumb day jobs.
Maybe.
And win the lottery whenever we feel like it.
Maybe,
Kevin.
Quite a tease.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
That's the impression I get of if you're going to bring us a couple that has won $26 million across multiple lotteries.
Yes.
That sounds like they got it figured out.
Yes.
Share the wealth, young man.
I will. We'll give you details.
All right.
And then
that's
you can determine for yourself if you're going to be able to win a lot of lotteries.
Yeah. All right. I'm in.
Don't tune out.
That's all right. Coming up. First, Allie's got what's happening here on this Tuesday morning.
Guys, did the Grammys have a big oops last night? Did you hear about this?
I don't know.
They say no, right?
Yeah. There's a Twitter account called Main Pop Data that posted a message that claimed to reveal the winners of the 2019 Grammys. The account claimed it had, quote, no video proof, just archived versions of their webpage. Here are the winners that they say are going to win at the Grammys. Cardi B's I Like It as Record of the Year. And Lady Gaga's Shallow as Song of the Year.
Both very reasonable guesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that means it's very possible that that might happen.
So the Recording Academy, which puts out the Grammys, told E! That the reports are false. There's no legitimacy to this. The results are not shared, even with the Recording Academy staff members, until the day of the Grammy Awards ceremony. And all the names of the recipients are delivered in sealed envelopes. So,
even if those turn out to be the winners, there's still no way to know whether these people had the advance.
Right. I think that's true, yeah. Because they did pick pretty much favorites, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no big surprises.
Yeah.
So what about this for some conspiracy alley? So Lady Gaga, of course, nominated for Original Song at the Oscars. Most assumed that they're going to do the Shallow on the telecast.
Mm-hmm.
She's also nominated for Record and Song of the Year at the Grammys for Shallow. But she hasn't said whether or not she will perform. Billboard reports that an offer is out to Gaga to perform February 10th at the Grammys. But since she hasn't confirmed, maybe did the Grammys leak this? Like, hey, Gaga, you win. So maybe you should perform.
What?
Lady Gaga! What?
That is Conspiracy Alley.
Total Conspiracy Alley.
I want to tell you, by the way, on that tip, that I was very disappointed in the Academy Awards announcement that they're only going to allow two of the five best song nominees to perform on the broadcast.
Didn't understand that, especially because they usually lean on that for kind of like less boring content.
Yeah, at least that's something entertaining.
Wouldn't you have to go zero or all?
Yes.
Well, you would think.
That's weird. I think so.
So what, they're getting Shallow still, obviously.
They're doing Gaga and they're doing Kendrick. Those are the two that they're doing. Which are the most high-profile ones, so I'm sure it's just a ratings consideration. But I enjoy seeing those other performances.
Me too. Especially because you can lure in other musicians to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like our friend Ezra from Vampire Weekend did it a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Was on the Oscars, you know? Yeah. Sufjan Stevens, rather, was on the Oscars a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he bored us all to tears.
He was wonderful, and I love him. And I'm happy to see somebody like him get a national platform.
I love him, but like when you're about to take a bath or go to bed. But good God,
also,
was that just...
Isn't that where like Alicia Cara broke? Really, everyone saw her for the first time doing like a song from Frozen?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, how rude to the other people up for that nomination.
That's
like,
my thing.
Sorry.
Maybe go no.
Sit tight.
On everyone, right.
That's not nice. Academy, you're not nice.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
All right. Thank you, sir. So, Fox's Rent, they premiered on Sunday night. That musical. Remember I told you the guy had broken his foot, so they had to use some live, some not live.
Yes.
For it. The ratings are in.
Mm. You stuck out to me that you said it was 3 hours long.
It was long. And I'm just telling you the story because they were so proud of this line.
Okay.
Fox's Rent got evicted in the ratings on Sunday. Sad bassoon indeed. Mm. Yeah. 3.4 million total viewers. That's
wow, that's low.
Per Nielsen's Fast National numbers. The last live TV musical was NBC's Jesus Christ Superstar Live on Easter. That had 9.6 million total viewers. So this is the lowest rated live musical ever in the history of live.
They're just
musicals,
rubbing it in now to the like people from Rent.
Yeah, no.
They've already announced the next finale. What is it? What are they doing next?
Yeah, I can't wait.
This is going to be a good one. That next
did
one.
They on Fox or a different network?
I don't remember what shit it is, but whatever the next live musical is, it's already out there in the ether. By the way, the Grease one was awesome.
Grease was great.
Grease Live was awesome.
Jesus Christ Superstar was awesome. It was actually incredible. With John Legend and Sarah Bareilles, that was phenomenal.
I didn't watch that. That one had too much Jesus for
me. Too much Jesus.
Yeah.
I understand. I mean, and it was Easter, so.
Just, right. That's not a good time to think about Jesus.
I'd like to see Book of Mormon if they're going to do one.
Actually, isn't Easter the best time to think of Jesus?
Probably be tough for Network. Oh,
that was Network.
Right. Did they do Hair yet?
Hair is next.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one they're doing is Hair. Yeah.
How are they going to do Hair? They're naked.
I know, right?
They're going to wear body suits. You know, like
boring.
Look
naked. Come on.
I don't.
Hair, you go because you see boobies. Right?
Did you know that Jennifer Lopez is doing one?
No.
She's doing Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh.
Eventually.
That's
so it says.
Something.
Huh. I'm out.
Yeah.
That's oh, you're out me. On all of them.
That's not for me.
They're also doing a live version of Aaron Sorkin's A Few Good Men.
Now, that makes sense because it's been a very popular Broadway play. So
also, they're doing a live Schindler's List?
No.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, but the rest of them were all real.
Good Lord. All right, you guys, some birthdays for you. We've got Sarah Gilbert, Edward Burns, Oprah Winfrey.
Yep.
Say it again.
Oprah Winfrey.
No.
Nope.
All right, hold on. I got one now.
Say it again.
Oprah Winfrey.
Okay, that wins.
Oh, that's what we wait.
Worth the wait.
That sucks. Adam Lambert, Tom Selleck, and Justin Hartley, and that's what's happening.
If you haven't heard yet, K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 3 is a gooder. It's Death Cab for Cutie at the Hollywood Bowl. Fun night in August. Plus, you qualify to see them again in Sydney, Australia. Three-night hotel stay, round-trip airfare. It's all part of the K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 campaign. 9 a.m., you win the local tickets, qualify for the flyaway. And then throughout the day at noon, 3, 6, and 9, get your details and another chance to win at krock.com.
How much per year last year did Americans spend on state lotteries?
Oh,
last year,
man.
Total dollars.
Boy, that's a tough one to figure out. I am just going to get the bidding started by throwing out $2 billion.
All right.
Oh, I think that's low.
Allie?
I'm going to say $60
billion.
Jens? Then I'm going to go a dollar.
Okay, all right.
Last year, Americans spent more than $80 billion playing state lotteries.
$80 billion. Unreal. Listen to this stat.
More than what was spent on concerts, sporting events, and movie tickets combined.
Whoa!
Isn't that insane?
That's shocking.
Combined.
Because of these stakes, it's essential that lotteries are truly games of chance, everyone entering with an equal opportunity to win. Which is why investigators took note when a retired couple from Michigan, Jerry and Marge Selby, made $26 million winning various state lottery games dozens of times.
Jerry and Marge look just like you would think Jerry and Marge look like.
I've got a visual for sure.
Well, their names are Jerry and Marge, for starters.
And they live in like a tiny little town of 1,900 people. Everybody knows each other.
They smoke in the house.
So, yeah. And they have a little tiny dog. It's interesting that I just heard something. They have won in multiple states. So
yes,
it's not
I'll get to
just
that.
Like that. Okay.
I'll get to that, yeah. So this is how Jerry discovered what he was going to do.
For years, high school sweethearts Jerry and Marge Selby lived a quiet life in Everett, Michigan. Population, 1,900. But one morning in 2003, Jerry happened to walk back into the corner store and spotted a brochure for a brand new lottery game called Windfall.
And in only a matter of minutes, he realized that this was a unique game.
I found a special feature.
That feature was called a roll down. Unlike the Mega Millions games you've probably heard of, where the jackpot keeps building until someone hits all six numbers and wins the big prize, in Windfall, if the jackpot reached $5 million and no one matched all six numbers, all the money rolled down to the lower tier prize winners.
So,
dramatically boosting the payouts of those who matched five, four, or three numbers.
So now you don't have to match all six.
Okay.
That's true of California lotteries, too, is you always hear about the person who wins the big Powerball or Mega Millions, but there are lots of people who win $1,000, $5,000, $10,000
right.
lower
this,
down the ticket.
This takes the $5 million and boosts three, four, and five numbers out of control.
Right.
Okay.
So Jerry's like, hey, that gives me way better odds. And he figured it out.
If I played $1,100, mathematically, I'd have one four-number winner. That's $1,000.
Now I fast-forwarded through his math.
I divided 1,100 by 6 instead of 57 because I did a mental quick dirty, and I came up with 18. So I knew I'd have either 18 or 19 three-number winners, and that's $50 each. So I got $1,100 invested, and I've got a $1,900 return. It's just basic arithmetic.
It's just basic arithmetic.
Is it, Jerry?
You lost me, Jerry.
He figured out the odds of getting three numbers right, four numbers right, and five numbers right, which is a lot higher than six numbers, of course.
Yeah. So this is a fancy way of of winning a raffle by going, okay.
Yes.
You count there are 200 people there. If I buy enough tickets, I'm almost certainly going to win.
And how
just a
always,
much bigger version.
How would he always know the odds based on how many people are joining? You would have to know that, right?
You would think, yeah.
Not for him. He's way mathematically smarter than anyone I've ever
seen before.
Yeah. But he doesn't really feel that way. But this is how he got into it. And by the way, gambling, huge.
When a roll down was announced, Jerry sprang into action. He bought $3,600 in Windfall tickets and won $6,300. Then he bet $8,000 and nearly doubled it.
Whoa. Now, here's why he's not so smart.
At that point, I told Marge what I was doing.
He didn't tell us. He was gambling $8,000 and didn't tell his wife.
Also, imagine being in line and the guy in front of you bought 8,000 lottery tickets.
So
I'm just going to be a minute.
Yeah,
I was trying to figure out if there was a way to do that. Like,
no.
You can't just go to a 7-Eleven.
They went to the exact same stores most of the time and got thousands of tickets.
Wow. Here he comes. He's coming in. Everybody. Bring out all the employees.
So then he gave everyone in their town a chance to invest, and people would give him $1,000 or $5,000 or whatever, and he would play the lottery for them.
Those willing to press their luck included three state troopers, a factory plant manager, and a bank vice president. They had played Windfall 12 times, winning millions, when Michigan suddenly shut down the game.
Oh, Michigan.
Bastards.
You suck so much.
Well, Michigan has had it hard, please.
So Jerry and Marge were not going to quit because they found out that in Massachusetts, the exact same lottery was going
on.
All right. So they started a new routine and listened to the dedication of these two people.
That's when Jerry and Marge Selby developed a routine they continued for the next 6 years, driving 900 miles to Massachusetts every time there was a roll down and buying hundreds of thousands of tickets at two local convenience stores.
Hundreds of thousands?
Oh,
I don't even see how that's possible. And by the way, if you're making millions of dollars, go ahead and fly to Boston. Don't drive back and forth.
They're mad at their mode of transport.
They drove 900. They also stayed in like a Red Roof Inn that looked like it was probably $49 a night.
Yeah, man, don't spend it till you got it.
Then they hold up in a room at the Red Roof Inn, sorting the tickets by hand for 10 hours a day, 10 days straight. Not so much playing the lottery as working it.
Isn't that insane? And
it
kept winning and kept winning and kept winning.
And by the way, they have those little machines where you scan your ticket at a store, and it'll do the work for you to let you know whether you have a winner or not.
Yeah, this story started in 2003, so I don't know
if
it was the same then. I assume he's smart enough to take advantage of that if it was there.
This is an unbelievable story,
right?
By the way. And in the 100 years that we've had lotteries in this country, I've never heard of anyone cracking it like this.
So in 2011, the Boston Globe got a tip that there was an oddity in this lottery, and they decided to look into it.
The paper's reporting revealed that two groups were dominating cash windfall.
Two groups. One of them is the Jerry and Marge.
Uh-huh. And now I want a
the
movie
Selby gang
about their
from
legacy.
Everett, Michigan.
I'm sorry.
What no, the? Now I want them to fight each other in public. Yeah.
So I like that he calls Jerry and Marge a gang.
Yeah.
And then listen to how he describes the other group.
The Selby gang from Everett, Michigan, in their competition. A syndicate led by math majors from MIT.
Syndicate! Math majors from MIT figured out the exact same thing.
Do you think they're like, oh, who are these olds driving in all the time?
So Massachusetts called for an investigation led by State Inspector General Greg Sullivan because, like Bean said, nobody figures out how to win it legally.
Sully's going to get to the bottom of this.
When we got involved, the public perception was there must be some kind of organized crime or public corruption.
Right?
Yep, Sully.
We really looked at this, looking for corruption. We used subpoenas. We looked at documents. We interviewed dozens of people.
You went into this looking for organized crime. As the story unfolded, were you surprised by what you found?
I wasn't surprised. I was dumbfoundedly amazed that these math nerd geniuses had found a way, legally, to win a state lottery and make millions from it.
You don't have to call them nerds just because they broke your code.
This is like the new Boston Globe spotlight.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Did Massachusetts close down the game?
They did.
Oh, come on.
What a surprise. They closed it down and went on to another game. So then he's talking about winning $26 million, and this is the final question.
I'm struck by how measured you are telling this story. Do you find anything remarkable about this?
The only thing I found really remarkable is nobody else really seemed to grasp it.
Oh, shut up, math nerd.
Murder.
Right?
Right.
Hello, caller. You have a comment?
I just want to say that I think murder is a great idea if the person deserves it.
Thank you. Wait, did you say murder?
Yeah, why? What are you guys talking about?
So, Allie, you're for murder or you're against murder?
Oh, I don't think I'm for murder. I'm fascinated by murder.
Here's the thing, and there's podcasts and different things that focus on murder, and they're almost exclusively women?
That listen to it?
Yes.
I think, I'm not saying almost exclusively, but a large number of...
A majority.
Yeah, I'd say the majority of podcasts about true crime, TV shows about true crime, from you've got Dateline, you've got Law & Order for, you know... The beginners, that type of thing.
Hallie comes in 3 days a week and says, oh yeah, I was watching this on ID channel or whatever
it
is.
Then you've got a whole network ID that's dedicated to true crime.
What was the one you saw this weekend about being abducted in plain sight or something like that?
Abducted in plain sight on Netflix.
I watched that one. That's great.
Did that end in murder?
No, it should have.
Oh, you were so disappointed by the end of it.
Oh, it should have. Trust me. But then you've got, you know, Michelle McNamara's book, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, where she was obsessively trying to figure out who the Golden State Killer was.
Sure.
Right.
And when that book came out, it just did gangbusters because everybody was kind of waiting for it. And then you've got the murder podcast. You've got, of course, My Favorite Murder.
Now, we had your friends in who host that, right?
Yes, we
and
had
they, we couldn't Georgia believe how huge it was.
Yeah, we had them in kind of at the start of their show. Now they're selling out Microsoft Theater. They're doing tours of Australia. And
that's even the name of that, My Favorite Murder, is just counterintuitive to everything you feel, unless you're a woman.
I don't think it's unless you're a woman. I think there are men that do enjoy these things, but I think there are maybe specific reasons that women gravitate towards it.
Murder's my favorite!
One being a lot of times I'll watch things and I think, ooh, maybe if I know enough about how they were killed, why they were killed, what led up to it, it becomes almost a personal safety aspect. Like, I could avoid these things.
Oh, you learn things.
Like you're learning tips.
Like, you would watch Law & Order to avoid an assault.
Yeah, like any of those. Well, was she thinking this? How did she get out of this situation? It's a personal safety aspect.
That makes sense.
Except most of the time they don't get out of it.
But Allie will, because she learned from it.
That brings me to my second reason, the justice aspect. So often, there's no good end result. There's murder, whatever. But when someone is brought to justice, there's this sense of, okay, you know, we live in this kind of constant state of fear. When you're seeing victims receive justice for it, it's kind of comforting. It's kind
Call
of
it murder, she wrote.
Angela!
Why? I guess I want to ask why women feel that way more than men.
Because I think...
Because you could
By
be...
and large, we live in a state of fear.
Yeah.
By and large, every aspect of, oh, do I go on a walk right now? Oh, it's getting late. I shouldn't. Everything is kind of joined in with a, well, if I go on this walk, should I walk by this place? Okay, what should I bring with me? It's things.
That's sad, unlike, but it makes sense.
Yeah, unlike men, we kind of go through life. And I'm not saying every woman, but you should be. We imagine the worst that could happen to us to be prepared.
Do you think that's where you developed your policy of no hiking and no cruise ships?
100%.
Because of how much murder you saw in the news regarding
Absolutely.
Both of those activities?
I can pinpoint when I became kind of obsessed
a
with murder.
A murder file?
And it was
a murder head?
A murder head. Yeah. And it was when I was very, very young, and Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. I remember being so terrified that we had to close our windows, and I was like, but it's so hot. What? No. And then hearing that, no, he's coming through windows. It's in the middle of the night. He's, you know, a Satanist, and he's killing dogs. I remember walking to school, like looking in the road and being like, oh my God, is that a dead dog in the road? Like little things
wow.
as a tiny child that you hear little bits and pieces. And as a kid, and I think even until kind of recently, you never admitted to enjoying hearing about murder shows. You never said, oh, I'm totally into this, because it was something you were almost embarrassed about, because women shouldn't, you know, show rage. Women shouldn't be able to do all the things that murder shows show you.
Right.
I think
any amount of money that Richard Ramirez thing is exactly what planted in your brain and exactly why you are the way you are today.
A lot
100%.
Of,
you don't get over that.
A lot 100%. Of that generation, I think, too. And also, it's been a weird month also with the Ted Bundy documentary mm-hmm. that hit on Netflix this week. And the overlying message from everyone was how hot he was.
Yes, yeah, women concerning. Are crushing
what?
On Ted
yeah.
Bundy.
Concerning.
Yeah, all over yeah. social media. It was like how attractive he was. And then also...
Netflix even put out a warning, Kevin, yeah. saying, hey, please stop referring to serial killer Ted Bundy as hot on social media.
Oh my God.
And then also they recently found that Mark Jackson basketball card. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
With the Menendez brothers.
The Menendez brothers, when they were free spending their parents' money, went to New York and got courtside seats to a Knicks game. Some person who has been studying the Menendez case forever, years and years and years, just independently, not just for fun, realized, oh, he was at a Knicks game. I should look through basketball cards to see if they ever picked them
up. That's insane.
One game in the year, and it's in the Mark Jackson card. Now they're going for like $25 on eBay.
And yeah. what are the chances that they would be in a photograph
yeah.
of a basketball card? All right, I ask
Can I just
Christine.
Say this real quick,
yeah.
too?
Yes.
When I think about it, when my parents first moved to L.A. in the mid to late 60s from Boston, and my parents' whole family was like, oh, why would you move out there? It's fruits and nuts. Everyone's crazy out there. And
fruits and
then
nuts.
And they moved to this street, and shortly thereafter that they moved to the street, their neighbors, the LaBiancas, were murdered by Charles Manson.
Okay.
So I was not born yet. I was born after that, when my parents moved to a more safer community where we had to close our windows because of the Night Stalker. Mm-hmm. But it's just these things were always kind of in my head growing up.
But then
up.
You had that safe house on Rockingham.
That's OJ.
It's a different story altogether.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Listen, I asked Christine to come in. I know we're at the end of this, the time for this conversation, but you were talking about the Night Stalker and how it affected you as a little kid and terrified you.
I mean, I was so young, so I have this warped perception of what it was. Mm-hmm. But the really sad part is he had murdered a couple who my mom was friends with,
oh,
who
wow.
lived down the street from us. So all I remembered at that time was everybody, like our parents were talking about like getting guns, and it was very scary as like a very small child, right? And you had to close your windows. Mm-hmm. I lived in an area where there was no air conditioning.
It was
sweltering.
Yeah.
So I have these like images of that time, and I literally now still, like tonight, I will have nightmares about this. I cannot
because it got brought up again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I hear his name or the Night Stalker or something, for sure, at least for today or a week, I will have nightmares.
Oh, just in, guys. I just found this on Twitter. Richard Mirror is out of prison. He's
Jesus Christ,
he's
Jensen.
Out yeah. he's out. He's out.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
I haven't heard much Ramit in this lead up to the Super Bowl.
Right?
We're going to be heading to Atlanta, broadcasting from there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That's starting tomorrow and the rest of the week here on The Kevin Bean Show, courtesy of our friends at TCL, America's fastest-growing TV brand. On location and in studio in Hotlanta, ladies and gentlemen.
Not Hotlanta.
Stop saying Hotlanta.
Am I going to be able to find a Hotlanta t-shirt for the Kevin and Bean t-shirt battle?
Oh, I mean, if you trudge through the snow, I'm sure you can.
I'm just wondering if they still make them. Wasn't Hotlanta hot like 20 years ago?
Well, maybe. That means they're just getting them in the souvenir shops. Bean, I would like to do a Atlanta edition while we're there. So we both get a shirt and battle with what we buy in Atlanta.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Cool. I like it.
That's a great idea. Kevin, you, as I have been watching some of the coverage, some of the Rams coverage leading up to the big game.
It's the best because there's really nothing to talk about yet.
Mm-hmm.
And both teams are there. And yesterday they started with Media Day. And it's just for a week they have to fill. And this is Fred Rogan from Channel 4 describing the many different colorful people that are there at Media Day and his access to the players.
Aaron Donald. Robert Woods, Jared Goff, everyone was here. A woman dressed as a mariachi, a man bringing food. There's a clown here with a backpack. There's the clown, and there's the backpack. There were 2,000 media members walking around. Basically, that's what you do. Aqib Talib, Todd Gurley, the big names had their own podiums. I didn't talk with any of them because I couldn't get close to them. Well, the Rams in Atlanta, Fred Rogan, NBC 4 Sports.
That's his whole report. His whole report is I couldn't get to them.
I mean, he had to file something. But is he bringing the puns like Jim Hill on Channel 2?
Good evening to you, too, and it is a little chilly here in Atlanta, Georgia, but the action is going to be hot on the field next Sunday. That is for sure.
It's a little chilly, but the action's going to be hot. I know he's a local treasure, Jim Hill, and I love him. But how old is the dude?
He's 100.
He's 100, right? Mm-hmm. He really is. I just went through yesterday the coverage of the, and I think we talked about it a little bit earlier in the week, the coverage of the official Rams send-off at the site of the new stadium.
Right.
And you know what a huge fan I am of then interviewing fans about whether the Rams are going to win.
Because you're asking Rams fans who's going to win the Super Bowl. You're going to get one answer.
Exactly. There's a lot of great coverage going on at Channel 2 during that rally.
One house, one dream.
You're going to win it this year.
And now, just one more game.
We still got business to do. We're on a mission. We still need to win one more game.
Now, nobody mentions it, but that guy who's doing the...
Is he 13?
We still got business to do.
Yeah, did he suck up some helium?
Is wearing a carved-out watermelon on his head. Says Rams on it. No mention of it. It's just like it's the most normal thing in the world.
That's funny.
He's wearing a watermelon.
I like that he probably didn't have money to buy something great, so he just was creative. I like that.
I mean, he certainly was creative.
Yeah. Do it!
Rams fans showed up by the
By the way, that's also very good advice from the guy who says that he wants the Rams to win and then urges them...
Do it!
Rams fans showed up by the thousands displaying jerseys and hats and crazy tattoos.
I'm a Rams fan. Been a Rams fan since I knew what football was.
All in attendance to say a final farewell to the team from L.A.
Rams fans, baby!
The official Super Bowl send-off took place in Inglewood. First to arrive in front and center, Vince Cadena.
Now, Vince showed up at 3 a.m., you guys, for the rally.
Sure.
3 a.m. Why do you suppose he showed up at 3 a.m.? What do you think his answer is to that?
I have no life.
All right, let's see if that's what he goes with.
Clock in the morning.
Why'd you come so early?
Because I'm a real Ram fan.
Now, when he said it like that, I'm a real Ram fan. Was that a... Did that remind you a little bit of Ramit? Is that coming from Ramit a little bit? From the song?
I'm a real Ram fan.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Something about the cadence of it just sounded familiar to me. I don't know.
I'm a real Ram fan.
Thousands more followed, and when the team arrived... It's not clear who was more excited.
And can I just ask?
Yes.
Why is he just a Ram fan? Just one guy on the team? Just a singular
he
player?
He likes A-Ram.
Just one guy?
Yeah.
He's like, I love that Talib.
Maybe so, yes.
LA, we let y'all have
And it's hometown cheers that this crowd hopes still ring inside those helmets come Sunday.
Will the hometown cheers be ringing inside those helmets come Sunday, you guys?
Well, the...
The hometown chairs will be ringing inside the helmet come Sunday.
I'm a real Ram fan.
News people, you don't need to talk like that.
I'm a Ram fan.
I'm a Ram fan.
Seriously, who's worse in this report, the fans or the reporter?
The only one I'm standing up for is the watermelon head guy.
I am overwhelmed with how many people are out here today. It's unbelievable.
A moment these fans didn't want to miss on a journey these players won't forget.
So in addition to coming here to kick off the Rams to the Super Bowl.
What's happening?
It also gave fans a chance to take a look at the new stadium.
What's happening?
In addition to...
Does she not have a mic? I think it's just loud down there, and I think she doesn't realize that the mic is picking up her voice fine. By the way, you'd be happy to know that the Rams fans think the stadium is great.
Opening in 2020.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm so proud of it. It's going to be the baddest stadium in the history of the planet.
But for now, the...
I will say...
I mean, technically, when it opens, he's probably right.
Yes. You do have bragging rights if you have a $5 billion stadium. It's probably going to be pretty sweet. I think we're going to let that pass. All right, final remarks from the reporter.
But for now, the focus is on this season, which thanks to a lot of hard work and a 57-yard kick...
And a referee who was obviously paid off to miss a pass interference that happened right in front of him.
He's still going, and everyone here is hoping for one more reason to celebrate. Come next week.
So there you go. That
Wait,
is
that
a
sounded
live.
Odd. That sounded...
No, no, it was fine.
It was not edited in any way?
No, no, not at all. It's just what she was saying. So go Rams.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Going back to Allie's People, our murder topic from a few minutes ago, Kevin in Riverside, my wife is obsessed with all the murder TV shows and podcasts. I think she's taking notes on how to get away with murdering me when she's finally fed up.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Randy tweets in at Kevin and Bean, all my female roommates watch is the ID Network, all murder all the time. I love the reenactments, by the way. How do I become a reenactment actor? That's a pretty, I guess there's a lot of people probably who are doing that.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of work in town.
You guys were super stoked on being reenactors, like dead guys,
right? Yeah, we wanted to do that, and our plea fell on deaf ears.
We wanted to die on 10,000 Ways to Die. That was the goal, and then the show got canceled, so we weren't able to do that. I think they would have had it.
Show died.
The show died instead, right? Allie's here. Time for another look at what's happening here on this Tuesday.
Hey, guys. Black Panther. It made $1.3 billion worldwide during their original theatrical run. It scored 7 Oscar nominations. No big deal. It's doing all right, right?
Sure.
Well, Disney has announced that Black Panther will be returning to theaters for one week.
No way.
It will screen select AMC theater locations between February 1st and 7th. And in celebration of Black History Month, tickets will be free.
I'm sorry, I watched it, but I fell asleep.
Well, that is just not true, sir. If you fell asleep during that, you need to get checked. In addition to the free screenings, Disney revealed that it will give $1.5 million grants to the United Negro College Fund. So again, Black Panther back in theaters for 1 week. February 1st through the 7th at select AMC locations.
How about that whole deal?
I do care, and I think it's great that people maybe that didn't see it can see it on the big screen.
I wouldn't mind seeing it again on the big screen.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Hey, since it won big at the Screen Actors Guild Awards, is it possible that it might win the Best Picture Oscar?
I mean, it would be great, but I don't think so.
Why? Just because those types of movies never even get nominated for the most part?
I mean, I feel like this is the first of what will be many over the years, but I doubt the first wins.
But this might be the opportunity a lot of Oscar voters see to, you know, get it right, set the record straight.
You think that's what they're interested in?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they have added thousands of new voters to the Academy Awards who may be looking for just something like this. I mean, I was surprised to see it win at the SAGs.
Yeah.
I'm starting to wonder. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were complaining that no way a movie like that would ever even get nominated. Now I think there's a possibility something like that might win.
Would be cool.
I mean, I would still think Roma has a much better chance with Academy voters than Black Panther, but still, nice to think about.
Best Picture is the nominees are BlacKkKlansman, Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favourite, Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice.
Okay.
So, there you have it. Are we all pretending that Bohemian Rhapsody was a great movie? Not just had a couple really good musical scenes?
I didn't see it.
I didn't either.
I hear it's super, super fun.
I'm avoiding it on purpose.
How come?
It just doesn't look good. Well, yes, one. Two, I also, someone yesterday posted on Twitter a scene. It's like, this movie is up for best editing. and they showed a scene. Like, I watched it. It is edited around...
Like, you could count the cuts.
Yeah, major mistake. Like, I don't think it's even the editor's fault. I think it's they missed so much coverage that they had to, like, do faraway shots, shots of the ocean and things while people are talking. It looks brutal. I will have to watch it purely because I see everything and torture myself. But
yeah, it was a fun movie, and there are some musical scenes in it that will absolutely wow you.
Like this one.
We are the champions, my friends.
I mean, you don't forget that.
No, I lost it. I had to leave the theater at that point. So
you want
emotional.
Some more?
Yes. Yes.
No.
That's so painful.
I think it's beautiful.
I mean, you talk about capturing the essence of Freddie Mercury.
Right?
That was impressive from Rami Malek.
Unbelievable. Just gorgeous, you guys. So, tech streaming site...
I just wanted to throw that in there.
Go ahead, Ella.
Absolutely. Tech site Streaming Observer made a list of all the movies currently available to stream on Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and HBO. Then, like nerds, they cross-reference them with their Rotten Tomato scores. Very interesting findings. Amazon Prime currently has a whopping 17,461 movies in its library.
Whoa.
That's four times as many as Netflix.
Wow.
And then far more than Hulu. Netflix only has 3,839. Isn't that crazy?
And most of those are Adam Sandler movies.
At least,
I don't feel like most people go to Netflix for movies.
They
maybe
don't.
For that reason.
Maybe, yeah.
Which is interesting because that's original. How they started was just for renting movies.
Well, here's another interesting finding. Netflix had the most number of movies that were certified fresh by Rotten Tomatoes. That's 75% or more of a positive review. Netflix had 596 certified fresh titles.
And none of those are Adam Sandler movies.
Amazon Prime only had 232. And that's with a library of 17,461 movies.
So they have more movies, but crappier movies.
Yes.
If your library is that big, you have to include a lot of bad movies.
Yes.
True.
But you'd think it would be a closer number somewhat. Hulu only had 223, and HBO Now had 38.
Whoa.
Oh. Goodness, right?
I think everything has changed where you're going for original content now to Netflix, to HBO, all these places.
Yeah, for sure. What's the last movie I watched on Netflix? I mean, you guys can't answer that. But maybe answer for yourselves what movie.
I watched Disappear in Plain Sight. Or, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah, but is that a movie or original programming?
Technically a movie.
Documentary?
I mean, listen, those are all movies, what you're saying.
Is it a movie, though?
A documentary is a movie.
I guess it is.
Larger umbrella is movie.
Maybe I'm just cutting it down by genre. Yeah. Like a movie, I think of like a rom-com or a thriller.
I think Roma was the last movie I saw on Netflix.
Yeah. I watched that there, too.
That's a movie.
Yeah.
That is a movie. That's tough to argue.
Yeah, but is it
Allie black seems and confused
white?
As to what is a movie, so I just
it's not in
sure.
English. Is it a movie? Goodness gracious. Hey, did you guys see that story about how Kate Hudson is going to raise her daughter genderless?
Yeah, I did not see that.
Well, it caused quite a stir. And
you mean raise her offspring genderless?
Yes, you know what? Completely right. My bad. Here's what she wrote on Instagram. Dear all my friends, fans, and others who read this, recently someone asked me something along the lines of if having and raising a girl is different from boys. My response was simple. Not really. This whole clickbait tactic of saying I'm raising my daughter to be genderless is silly and frankly doesn't even make sense. So if she didn't say anything of the sort...
That's bizarre.
That's concerning, right?
I think she's changing her tune now.
Do you?
I think she said they're genderless, and they don't. I'm just going to shave their head because then people don't. People just boy, girl, whatever it is. Another question.
Oh no.
Nope.
Don't want.
Question.
No time.
If I could marry does that mean I could marry a raccoon or a pillow? When's it going to end?
There are people that think that, you guys.
And what's the deal with, where's Larry the Cable Guy? Why do I have to put up with Anthony Jeselnik and Amy Schumer?
Uh-huh.
Why do I got to put up with them? What's the deal?
Sorry. These are all excellent questions, sir. But let's get back to Allie's story.
We got to go. Some birthdays for you. Edward Burns, Sarah Gilbert, Tom Selleck, Adam Lambert, Justin Hartley, and Oprah Winfrey.
Yep. The Oprah Show is going to Australia.
So good. And we all mouthed it. It was like lip sync battle in here. And that's what's happening.
Tom Brady is old.
All right, thank you. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:07.
We're going to Hotlanta.
Hotlanta.
Right. And I was I was thinking a lot about the music that comes out of Atlanta, because there was all that controversy about Maroon freaking 5 being at the halftime entertainment of the Super Bowl, because there's so much great music out of Atlanta.
But I think the NFL thinks of Atlanta as no place, just like every other city, because they want to appeal to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a location.
Yeah.
I guess. But it seems a shame that you didn't you don't have Outkast in the show, or Ludacris in the show, or somebody else who's like really, really made a name for himself from the music there. And I came across, as I was doing a little research for the trip, I came across something on Ludacris that I think is so fascinating. I think you guys are going to love this. Jensen, you're a rap correspondent. For folks who maybe they know the name Ludacris, what songs would people best know him from?
You know, Move, Bitch! Get out the way is a great song.
It's a great song.
What's Your Fantasy? Want to lick you from your head?
Oh, sure.
That's a biggie.
You were very careful not to let us record that and play it back.
Yeah, it was right very low.
Where does Ludacris keep his women?
Oh, he keeps all of his hoes in different area codes.
Okay, that's him, too. Right. Okay.
That's also him, yeah.
So that's Luda we're talking about.
He also has a very bad song.
When I say Luda, y'all say Chris. Luda.
Chris.
He has a very bad song where he raps over the Austin Powers theme song. It's very bad. Oof. Yeah, and he also, in it, he's like, get in my belly. Like, he does all the lines from it. It's very bad.
Well, Ludacris, apparently, a couple of seasons ago, played as the entertainment at a spring football game at the University of Georgia. And it ended up being very controversial because they, paid him $65,000 for a 15-minute performance.
Whoa. Wow.
That maybe boosters to the school were like, 65 grand for that? Are you kidding me? They ended up actually issuing an apology for booking Ludacris, not only because of the 65 grand. And I don't know a lot about how much people usually get for appearances like that.
I don't either.
That seems like it's kind of in the ballpark of what I would expect somebody like Ludacris to get.
Yeah, when I was rapping, I used to have to pay them.
Right, exactly.
No, a Ludacris, yeah, that's a lot for 15 minutes. That is a lot.
But he's a big star.
Yeah.
But I think what added to it, besides the cash outlay, was what the University of Georgia was required to come up with in Ludacris's rider. Now, the writer was what the artist asks be available to him, be provided to him for him to perform the show. Mm-hmm. And here's what Ludacris, and we'll just get through as many of these as we have time for, because the show ends at 10. So I don't know if we're going to get more. Now, again, he's there for 15 minutes.
Right.
So how much stuff does he really need? One loaf of bread, whole grain, with whole grain bread with the most amount of grains is how he starts. Don't give me any of this half-assed grain bread. Organic peanut butter, creamy only. Organic jelly, strawberry, or grape only.
I see a trend here. I know where we're going.
Candies, assorted. For instance, Snickers, M&M's, Jolly Ranchers. One box of green tea, Tazo, with condiments like lemon, organic honey, and sugar. Nag Champa incense. A box of fruit roll-ups, mint Listerine, 6 Hanes large white T-shirts. He's there for 15 minutes. He's going to show up. He may change once, go out and perform. Is this just so he doesn't have to buy T-shirts the rest of the year?
I wonder if this is his regular rider every place he goes, or if this was like unique.
Special for that.
For that school.
One Crest Spin rechargeable toothbrush. One bottle of Crest toothpaste. 2 large bags of chips, 1 plain, 1 barbecue. 1 fresh box of unsalted almonds. 1 fresh box of unsalted trail mix. 4 Greek-strained yogurts, mixed flavors. How much could this dude eat at one appearance?
Well, it's not just him, though.
Well, he's very high.
A whole entourage.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. 1 case of low-sodium V8 juices. 1 box of Trojan Magnum condoms.
Yeah.
He probably would put that in even if he didn't need
it. Yeah, that's just a humble brag.
Right, exactly.
Two Joe Malone candles, gardenia scent. By the way, this means there's some intern at the University of Georgia had to drive around all around campus looking for, hey, do you carry the Joe Malone candles, gardenia scent? One bottle of Eucerin lotion, original dry skin therapy.
Oh, that's because he's ashy.
One can of almonds, one bar of Dove soap, five washcloths from Wamsutta or Bed Bath & Beyond, five drying towels, Wamsutta brand, two bottles of Belvedere vodka. All right, now we're getting into the alcohol. Again, if you're just joining us, this is Ludacris's writer to do a 15-minute show at the University of Georgia. Two bottles of Belvedere vodka, two bottles of Conjure cognac, two bottles of Patron silver, two packs of AA batteries. Two packs of AAA batteries.
Well, you can't be too safe.
You want to make sure you have the right ones.
Right.
Two lighters. One bottle of red wine, Francis Coppola Merlot or Cabernet. One bottle of white wine, Santa Margarita Pinot Grigio or Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, he's got good taste.
1 gallon of Tropicana orange juice. 1 gallon of cranberry juice. How many items are on this writer?
Was he moving in?
It sounds like
he's stocking it for like 6 months.
2 cases of chilled Fiji water. Very important. Must be the 500 milliliter bottles. One case of Nikko coconut water. 2 cases of Snapple, raspberry, kiwi, strawberry, grapeade. 2 cases of lemon lime Gatorade. 12 assorted Minute Maid box juices. Is he bringing a bunch of kids with him?
What is it? Kids-ish, yeah.
One hairbrush with bristles, African-American. One small secret deodorant. One iron and ironing board.
What the?
That's where the list runs out, by the way, at the iron and the ironing board. Now, Jensen, you've been on the road. You were a professional entertainer. When you have a writer, does somebody go through and check off to make sure every single thing is there?
Yeah. No, absolutely. There's people whose entire job is hospitality and making sure that that everything is taken care of. If you have to take out all of the green M&Ms, someone's taking out all the green M&Ms.
I wish we had an accounting of the amount of stuff that he didn't touch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All of that stuff he had, the amount of stuff that he didn't touch is probably 97%.
So not only did he make $4,333 a minute for his 15-minute show, here's the apology from the University of Georgia afterwards. I do want to take this opportunity to apologize to our board for mistakes we made with certain aspects of the details in an entertainment agreement. Few things in my professional life had bothered me more than this situation. There are no reruns in life, so we need to turn the page, learn from our mistakes, and do everything we can to make sure errors of this nature do not recur. So there you go. I was thinking we might try to get Ludacris to come by the broadcast in Atlanta this week, but I don't think we can afford him.
Good evening to you, too, and it is a little chilly here in Atlanta, Georgia, but the action is going to be hot on the field next Sunday, that is for sure.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Hey, fascinating story.
Tom Brady is old.
Right. That's also a fascinating story.
Right.
Fascinating story about this. I think, Jensen, you brought us a story about the family heirloom that is being passed down.
Yeah.
And for folks who don't know what an heirloom is, it's something that's in your family that is it's given from father to son and to daughter and then passed on through the generations.
Absolutely.
And what do you think the most common family heirloom is that is passed down?
I would think a ring.
Mm-hmm. Jewelry, according to this list, is number two. Engagement rings are the most common jewelry that is passed down. Yeah, you hear a lot of times about people who
Number one has nothing to do with jewelry.
That's right.
Okay. Maybe a property, a house.
Oh, interesting.
I think that's kind of assumed, you know, I mean, by the law, you leave everything to people behind.
It's got
to
be more of like a tchotchke.
It's the family Bible.
Oh. Is
that
right?
The most common and precious heirloom passed down between generations. Now, who knows? Maybe this list is from a religious organization, but they have the family Bible at number one, then jewelry, then clocks and pocket watches. So then recipe books. Okay, never mind. Forget this list.
Are they giving out the monocle?
Forget this list.
And their calligraphy pen?
But things like quilts, china, silverware, photographs, letters, diaries. There's lots of things on the list. But I think that's not what we're looking for here, right?
No.
We're,
not looking for stuff like that. What's the story that kicked this whole conversation off?
Well, there's a 48-year-old named Ansley Peters in Kirkcaldy, Scotland, who recently opened up about an heirloom that's been going through the generations of her family, and it's an unopened Cadbury egg.
Generations.
Yes. Yeah.
Unopened Cadbury egg.
Still in its wrapping, and she has it in her curio cabinet. It was passed down since 1973.
Why even the first time?
Well,
Cadbury egg.
It has family significance.
Why didn't your grandma just eat it after she bought it?
That's what I was thinking. It was a gift given to her grandma on a first date from a man who would later become her husband, and instead of eating it, she decided that she would put it into a glass case.
Okay.
And when she passed away in 2010... this woman, Ansley, it was the first thing she asked for when they were going through her belongings.
Interesting. Oh. So she asked for it. It wasn't like a weird thing that she got given. She's like, no. What am I supposed to do with this?
Your sister gets $50,000 and you get a Cadbury egg.
Does she just love chocolate? I mean, is that what it is?
Actually ironic because when they asked her about it, she said, it's just me being a bit of a dafty. I don't even like cream eggs.
What's a dafty?
I don't know. Okay. Scottish.
Like Scottish daft, for dumbass. Dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so in other words, she looks at that and she goes, oh, that's a sweet reminder of the first date my grandparents went on.
I guess.
I get that. I mean, that's nice.
I mean, the other thing, too, is like, there's pictures of it on the internet, and it's still very vibrant, like, in colors and stuff, but, like, all the colors have changed into different ones.
Oh.
So, like, if you compare it to a new Cadbury egg, it's like the green has turned red and red has turned purple.
Yeah.
It's very.
Yeah.
I'm almost scared to smell it.
Yeah, that seems bad. Keep it in the box.
Chip, I need that. Yeah. Please make a mark. I'm going to need that.
Tape from Jason. Dang it.
I was thinking about this yesterday, and I have a friend who I can't believe that I forgot this. I had a friend who got the ashes of the family dog.
Mm-hmm. Passed down?
Yes, from her parents. And she's like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Was it a dog she even interacted with?
I don't remember whether she did or not.
But that's also, it was the family dog.
Yeah,
maybe?
That wouldn't be as bad. But if it's like, oh, this was my grandparents' dog. Never met my grandparents or their dog. They all died in a fire. But I do have the ashes.
I wonder many people get gifts like that and then just throw them out. Just quietly get rid of them. You know?
Well, I want to talk about the dog thing for a second. But we are going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call us via voice or text if you can't get to the phone to call us. We want to hear about unusual things that are passed down in your family, something you have or somebody in your family has that's passed down that's not the family Bible or an engagement ring, all right?
The weirder the better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have the ashes of six of my dogs. I have the ashes of six of my dogs. What should be done with those? When my wife and I
mean,
are both
they're
gone.
All in different urns, right? You don't, like, mix them all up?
Yes.
He's making one complete ash dog.
I'd like my salad tossed, please.
I'm going to need that.
So is that luck. Just the type of thing that when I'm gone and when my wife is gone, it doesn't mean anything to anybody else?
Well,
she just go in the dumpster?
I would think so. That's why I feel like that's an odd thing to give a kid. And you don't have children, so I would assume it would mean nothing to anyone else.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think I agree with you on that.
I just imagine, are you buried with all these urns just lining your casket?
33 of them.
I do have a lot of them. That's true. I also have some hair from one of my cows that passed away. I did save some hair.
All right. And, what?
But again, I don't think I'll be passing that down to anybody else.
Why do you have the hair of a cow?
Just because she was I loved her so much, and
she had amazing hair.
She had her hair smelled terrific.
In case I have a spell,
what the hell
I need to do?
Just a memento. That's all. But we're getting off topic here.
No, we're not. This is awesome.
When I recently moved, we went through all my stuff, and Danielle was like, what is this bag of quarters?
Bag
I was
of
like,
quarters?
Yeah, I was like, oh, those are my dad's quarters. I kept my dad had like a little cup of quarters, like probably like $15 worth.
Oh, it wasn't a collection?
No.
It was just a bag.
It was just errant change.
Just like $5.
Yeah, and I haven't spent it or anything. And I always feel weird because, like, what am I going to buy? I can't just be like, oh, I got, you know, I got a meal with it. I feel like I have to buy something of significance.
But you can't get anything of significance for that amount of money.
Yeah, that's why I still have the quarters. Yeah. He died 10 years ago.
I bet there are people who have terrible art.
that is passed down just because of the significance of that was on my parents' wall the whole time I was growing up. I want to have that as a remembrance of them.
Yeah, I
can see that.
Because I have lots of terrible art also, so I don't know what's going to happen to that when I'm gone. So 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about family heirlooms that are a little out of the ordinary. They get passed down generation to generation. Let's take one call real quick before the break, and let's make it Scott. He is in Burbank on line one to get us started.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, so it's actually my best friend's family that's passing this down, but they would be passing down skin from their...
I'm sorry, the phone must have broken up. I thought you said skin.
No, I said skin, yes. They would pass down their grandfather's skin.
Wait, hold on a second. Let me make sure I understand here. A subscription to Spin magazine? Is that what you said?
That would be nicer.
Why?
Why did they skin grandpa?
I don't know. His aunt gave it to him, and he just like, you know, that's just... And they're who they passed down.
But you have to feel like you can't just throw it out because it meant something to someone.
Well, did it? I mean, the other thing, too, is it like a cuticle or is it like a full graph of skin?
It's
the outline of his body.
It's like dry skin and like nail clippings. And
We all know it's you. It's not your friend.
I was thinking that they like cut off a tattoo or something like that and put it in a frame or
something
like that.
No. I was going foreskin, and that didn't bother me as much as thinking nail shavings.
You don't fingernail clippings.
What about like even your belly button when that falls off? A lot of people keep that in a little baggie.
The umbilical cord?
Yes. Not your belly.
That's
gross. Oh, that's
gross.
Right.
He's drawing the line.
Scott. Judgy McChugster.
Scott
about your
says
friend.
That's gross.
All right, Scott. You're a weirdo. Thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Your heirloom calls next on K-Rock.
And just ahead of Lincoln Park, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Charlene from Huntington Beach. Good morning, Charlene.
Good morning.
Talking about the family in Scotland, that passes down a Cadbury cream egg, and it got us on the topic of weird family heirlooms. What's been passed down in your family?
In my family, what was important for us was that we had this outhouse musical box that was passed down. The story behind it.
It was a music box.
So it's like a normal music box, except it's an outhouse is kind of like a joke of it.
In a way, yes, but it was because that's how my grandparents met.
In an
my
outhouse?
Grandfather
that's so romantic, meeting in an outhouse.
My grandmother.
How did they meet in an outhouse? I have to know.
They basically ran into each other, and he was trying to get into it, and then he ended up doing it the wrong way, and then, you know, from there, the story.
Okay, it sounds like you're describing a very awkward first sexual encounter.
Charlene,
well, it wasn't bad, but yeah.
Jensen wants me to ask if it was a glory hole.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Again, Jensen, that
was nope. The moon tape.
Okay,
it's
that
best
wasn't
if
me.
You don't know anyway, Charlene. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Top glory hole. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
This is a weird topic, and we started right at the top, didn't we?
It really is weird. And Allie, I don't know how your brain works, but don't ask ladies that question.
It was
about their grandparents.
Jensen wanted me to ask.
You tried to blame it on Jensen, but we all know.
Kevin asked me to ask.
From the 951, my mother was passed down something from her mother, her dentures in a jar.
Oh, no. No.
And they still had food in them.
Oh, no!
What's wrong? And it gets worse. She also has her gallbladder, her mother's gallbladder, in a Gerber baby food jar. Not sure where that stuff is going when my mother passes, but definitely not to me.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's something. Oof.
Would you ever want a gallbladder from a relative in a jar?
Mm-mm. Nope. I don't want any body part.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right, fair enough. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Rihanna in Riverside, line 4, 1-800-520-1067. Caleb, you hang on. Matt, we'll get to as many calls as we can, but let's see what's going on here.
Hey, Rihanna.
Hey, what's up?
Talking about weird family heirlooms. Do you have one?
So I guess it kind of has a backstory, but my dad and his little brother were playing out in the woods. And they found a stick, and they thought it looked like a cannon, and so they were shooting each other with it. And then my grandmother ran up and said, give me that, because it looked so much like a penis. Okay. And the balls and everything, you know. And
okay, we're familiar with you.
And, yeah,
with
I just had to be descriptive because it's not just a stick, you know. It's like,
right.
I mean, it looks really.
We got you.
Yeah.
Okay. We're on the same page with you.
It's the full set. We got it. Yeah.
So well, how
my
did...
grandma said, give me that. And she thought it was really foul, but then she also lacquered it and decided to send it to all the new brides in the family.
What is happening
so
in your family?
Whoever, huh?
Now, what's happening in your family?
Well, so, that's the thing. Now it's kind of like it disappeared with one of the brides. So I kind of wondered, like, if she if she liked it a lot, or I don't know. Like,
I know what we're all thinking. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yes, we know. Yeah, we do know. Yes. Yes.
I'm not clear.
Thank you, Rihanna. We appreciate you calling. Let's go to Palmdale Line 5. This is going to be our man, Caleb. Kevin, you were saying no to body parts?
No, I don't need any body parts.
Well, then meet Caleb.
Good morning, Caleb.
Yeah, that grandma's dentures, that kind of shook me up right there.
Right?
Yeah, that was rough.
What's yours?
Okay, so, I mean, I personally think mine is worse. We have my grandpa's frostbitten foot.
His entire
foot?
What?
From when he tried to scale Mount Everest. And I don't think, I never met him. I don't think he was that smart of a man. Because according to the story, he never made it to Everest. He got his foot chopped off in China.
What?
He never actually made it to the mountain.
Your grandfather is super shady.
Wait a second. If he made it all the way to China, then it's not like he died up there or had frostbite and had to have his leg amputated, because he would have done that when he got back down in Nepal, right? He wouldn't have gone to China for that. It sounds like it's a separate incident.
Sounds like he had some issues.
That's just who he contacted. Now, there's another one I got for y'all. We have my great uncle's shoe. Now, I don't know if you guys have notes on the line, but can y'all guess what happened?
No.
Why we have that shoe?
Oh, to put the foot in.
No.
Oh,
that's a great guess.
That was my great uncle's shoe.
It's just one shoe.
That was all we found of him in a pig pen after the pigs ate him.
Oh my God.
Caleb. Caleb, are your parents related?
What's
this?
It's
crazy.
Hey, Jensen, watch it now.
That's not our family.
This is the best. I just optioned your family story for a television show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52.
I'm going to try to forget all of the callers that we had on the family heirloom.
Those were the best callers of the year.
All we have is his shoe left, because that's all that was left after he fell into a pig pen, you guys. That was said by a listener.
That was the same guy that had the foot of his grandpa.
Which wasn't from the story he was told.
Right, yes.
Oh, my God.
And then the lady whose grandparents met with a glory hole in an outhouse. I mean, it was just... who saved the skin, saved somebody grandpa's skin. I mean, what happened?
I don't know.
This is a chamber of horrors this morning.
We always try to guess what kind of calls we get because we want to make it interesting, and we could have never thought of that.
And this was one of those where we were like, do you think we'll get calls?
Right.
Oh, jeez.
I thought it was going to be like, Peanuts character figurines. I mean, I wasn't expecting this at all.
Well, that's...
Oh, boy, did Nana love Schroeder.
All right. Allie is here with another look at what's happening on a Tuesday morning.
Oof. Good Lord. I mean, he fell into a pig pen.
Yep, yeah. That happened.
All that was left was one shoe.
One shoe.
Which means they ate the other shoe.
Mm.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Jensen, what was the movie where that's how they disposed of the a very hungry pack of pigs would take care of their
victim?
That Fargo?
On the show Hannibal as well.
Oh, Hannibal.
Yeah.
No. I was thinking Fargo, no?
Could be also, but don't do that, people.
Okay, that's some good advice.
That's a good tip. Thank you so much. You guys, there is a movie coming out on February 14th in theaters. It is called Alita: Battle Angel. It looks fascinating. Have you guys watched the trailer?
Yes.
What is happening in that trailer?
Not sure.
And is Alita, like, she's obviously made from, you know, parts, but is she full CGI or is she kind of woman part CGI?
I know her.
What do you mean you know her?
What does that mean?
That's an actress, Rosa Salazar.
But her eyes, everything looks CGI'd on her face.
Yeah, everything, it's like half and half. It's not even half and half. Oh, yes. 80% CGI, 20% Rosa.
It is fascinating.
Wow, yeah.
She kicks butt in this
movie. Yeah, it looks good.
It looks incredible. Well, it is coming to theaters, like I said, February 14th. But how would you like a pair of passes to the premiere of Alita Battle Angel? It's happening at the Westwood Regency Theater on February 5th. Give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and we will take callers 10 through 14. Those five winners are going to get a pair of passes to the premiere of Alita Battle Angel at the Westwood.
Give me some of that.
Regency Theater on February 5th. This is breaking news right now, and it is so disturbing crazy.
Not after our last topic.
Pretty bad.
Oh, no.
Empire star Jussie Smollett, who's by and large the most talented one on that show, just an amazing singer, great actor. He was brutally attacked by two men that beat him up, put his head in a noose, and screamed, "This is MAGA country."
Oh, no.
Sources connected to Jussie tell TMZ that he arrived in Chicago from New York late Monday, and around 2 a.m. he was hungry, went to a Subway, where when he walked out, someone yelled, "Aren't you that F," homophobic slur, "Empire N," racist slur.
Wow.
Two men, both white, wearing ski masks, viciously attacked him, fractured his ribs, put a rope around his neck, and poured bleach on him, and then yelled that this is MAGA country. What is happening in this world?
Let's just sit with that for a moment and think about that happening in America in 2019.
Yeah, and then they're saying that there was some earlier correspondence that maybe Fox received.
A Fox studio in Chicago received a letter that was sent 8 days ago where it says to Jussie on the front, and then it says, "You will," and I can't figure out if it says die.
It's die, yeah.
Black F word.
Wow.
So now is this a premeditated attack?
I mean, I
you found out
so.
He was coming to Chicago. Yeah, you were following like him. This is insane.
Yeah, he was on this. He's on this upcoming season of my show, and he's the nicest, kindest. He was so great and fun to have around. It not that that changes any hate crime, but it's just insane to hear it happen in 2019 to someone who deserves nothing.
Insane.
Hey, I know Alyssa Milano took a lot of pushback from saying that the MAGA hat is now is the new white hood, and that's certainly not the case for, you know, all or even most people who wear the MAGA hat, but there's a lot of stories like this, you guys, where there is a connection, where there is a tie-in, and I do think that I don't think it's unreasonable to say some people have been emboldened by the mood in the country. And you can ascribe that mood to whomever you please.
Yeah, and it's just co-opted. Even if you didn't, even if you thought it was for a candidate at one point or for a new hope or a change, at this point, it's been co-opted, clearly. So
insane.
That's an ugly story.
Is he, besides obviously it being, you know, traumatic and awful and painful, is he going to be okay? Does he have any serious medical issues as a result of the beating?
According to TMZ, he was taken to Northwestern Memorial where he was treated and he was discharged.
Oh, good.
What happens when they put bleach on you?
I can't imagine.
I don't know
if it didn't hit his skin, if it just went on his clothing. I don't know, but good Lord.
That is an ugly story.
It is a very ugly story.
We were having fun today, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Allie.
Well,
I don't think it's Allie's fault.
I didn't do it, but... Okay. Hey, you guys, Vans Warped Tour is returning this summer at 3 locations in the United States for their 25th anniversary celebration. Of course, they announced last year that the whole run had ended, but 25th anniversary. The dates are June 8th at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, June 29th and 30th at Atlantic City Beach in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and July 20th and 21st at Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California. Did I say it? Did I do amphitheater?
Amphitheater.
Very good.
Yeah, nice.
Thanks. Full list of bands will be announced on March the 1st.
So last year was the last year, but this year is the 25th anniversary, so they'll reboot the Warped Tour next year and get it started all over again, right?
I don't know. I think this is it. This is really it.
Well, when you say that.
I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
That guy meant it. I've said it before.
He was truthful.
That was true. Yeah. Hey, coming up, let's talk about our trip to Atlanta and see if any of us packed what this guy did in Canada. It's disgusting, and I want to know if it's in any of your bags.
Okay.
Is it a foot?
It is just a shoe.
Okay.
No, it's pretty crazy.
Was the guy in Canada going to Atlanta, sponsored by TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand?
Well done.
Hello.
Well done. By the way, we are giving away TCL TVs.
65-inch TCL TVs, by the way, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week.
I thought you were just saying that to make it seem even cooler. You really are.
Yeah.
That's for real.
So
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. You're getting a TV. We're going to do the whole thing.
Well, strangely, you should say that because it's Oprah Winfrey's birthday today.
No doubt. You've seen the headlines. It's no secret. I've gained weight.
That's a lovely clip.
I hate all of you. Happy birthday, Edward Burns, Sarah Gilbert, Tom Selleck, Adam Lambert, and Justin Hartley. And that's what's happening.
Tom Brady is old.
Appreciate that update. Hey, guys.
Yes.
You know we're going to Hotlanta.
Yeah. Stop saying Hotlanta. You can't make that work.
We're going courtesy of our friends at TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. And I knew that we were doing this TV giveaway that mm-hmm. we're doing every day, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. The rest of the week, we'll have TVs to give away to our listeners. What I did not know until I looked at Dave's paperwork just now is we are giving away a 65-foot TCL TV.
Wait, what?
65 feet.
No way.
That is the Dave biggest TV I have ever heard
that's,
of.
That's a misprint.
The King of Mexico really does good work.
Are we giving away a Jumbotron?
Yes.
Apparently we are giving away a Jumbotron.
Not my fault.
Does Dave not know the difference between how to make the mark for a foot versus an inch? Are we giving away a 65-foot TV?
Oh, no. I would guess he doesn't know the difference. That was just my guess. Dave?
I mean, 65 inches is good, too.
Dave, I actually kind of want Dave to come in to explain this. Because
Shut up. You get it.
Dave, but when you came in here, you told me you were talking about someone who was on a plated on a TCL TV. You were like, I can't believe they played Resident Evil 2 on it. Were you believing we were giving away a 65-foot TV?
No.
Then why would it be so weird that Resident Evil 2 was on a normal 65-inch television?
It has nothing to do with this story.
He's so annoyed.
He's annoyed.
Come on.
Well, I mean,
we're not the ones that wrote 65 feet.
I'm just trying to picture out how big a wall you need to put a 65-foot TV on.
It's 65 inch.
I'd rather have the 65 inch.
Yeah, it actually would fit in your house.
I got 65 inches. Okay, wow. Dave, you can't play. all right, so if it's even if it's 65 inches,
yeah,
that's still a fantastic big TV. Right?
Agreed. Yes.
Okay, so that's 65-foot, but it's okay. So that's tomorrow, right here on the Kevin Beach Show. Allie's here with our final what's happening, and then we hit the road.
How many inches in feet is 65?
Okay.
Like four?
So 65 times 12.
Yeah, four is about right.
Okay. So Dave's saying he has four feet of penis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what he's saying.
Just making sure we're all on the same page.
Not my fault.
The love of God. All right, you guys, we're all packed. We're heading to Atlanta.
Yep. Everybody but Chip.
Chip, you're not going. Sorry about that.
Oh, bad news for you.
Any of you pack anything weird that could get us stopped at the airport?
Vibrators.
Well, that's not weird.
My uncle's foot.
Okay, sure. Do you guys ever, this is random, but you know when a police officer pulls up in back of you, no matter what you're doing in your car, you get a little nervous.
Like, a little flushed.
Yeah, a little.
You're in trouble.
Butthole pucker. When you see a drug-sniffing dog at the airport, do you think, oh my God, do I have heroin? Like, even though you've never done heroin, do you immediately think? Oh, see, I do. I see a drug-sniffing dog, my first thought is, I want to pet that dog, and I know I can't, and then I get nervous. No?
No.
You guys? Okay.
I mean, maybe weed.
All right.
But heroin, though.
No. Well,
that's
just
a weird thing to think.
Because I've never done heroin or had heroin.
Right.
That's why it's so weird that's my first thought. Like, do I have it?
Yeah.
Well, I bring this to you because of a sniffer dog that discovered something in a man's luggage at Toronto Airport. And I'm telling you the story because he has to face a court hearing in Toronto next month due to his 5,000 leeches in his luggage.
Whoa. Wow.
Why?
He's being charged with illegally importing an international species without a required permit. So he's going to face that court hearing. The man reportedly told airport officials the leeches were for his personal use and that the leeches' wastewater enriches his flowers. What?
Is that one of those things where it's supposed to heal wounds or something like that?
Yeah.
For certain type of therapies, they
use people
leeches.
Really do use those. I mean, in actual Western medicine, not just out in the jungle. I mean, there are times where the leech is the best way to keep a wound clean. I don't know why this guy is traveling through an airport with so many of them.
Yeah.
5,000 leeches in his luggage.
That seems weird.
All right. So none of us have that.
I mean, I have 1,000, but not 5.
Oh, no, 5, I think, is the international limit.
I mean, I had millipedes as pets, but I never really got into the leech game.
Are millipedes roly-polies?
I don't know what a roly-poly is.
What? The little black roly-poly? You know what a roly-poly is.
No, I've never heard of a roly-poly. Really? I am familiar with an animal.
If you saw a picture of it, you would know exactly what it is. You just don't know that name.
You touch them and they roll up, no?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do that. Yeah. But they're actually called millipedes.
Okay. Take it easy.
Is a millipede a roly-poly?
I guess so. It sounds like we're talking about the same creature, yeah.
Nope, it's a pill bug.
Pill bug.
What's a pill bug?
Oh, Dave says pill bug. Okay.
A roly-poly is a pill bug?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
65 feet.
65 foot. 65 feet. That thing rolls, and you got to make sure houses aren't in the way. Anything. Okay, moving on.
Because millipedes, they do also, you know, roll up into themselves a little bit, you know, to protect themselves, like a hedgehog does.
Yeah.
Same.
Tom Brady is old.
Okay, getting back to the topic at hand.
If you could roll up into yourself, would you? And would you ever leave the house, really? That's what I'm saying.
I think I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Guys, if you were on Twitter last night and you were following Main Pop Data, that's their site
on Twitter.
Hot Twitter account. You might have seen what they say could possibly be some of the winners of the Grammys. They say that they have, quote, no video proof, just archived versions of the webpage. Winners, it claimed, included Cardi B's I Like It as Record of the Year and Lady Gaga's Shallow as Song of the Year.
I don't think I Like It's going to win. Now that I've fully taken it in, there's no way.
That Cardi B wins for
Record of the Year?
Record
of the Year, no.
No. And
no way they know.
What is Shallow up against for Song of the Year? Like, I think that was a great song if you saw the movie. But was it really
Song
of the Year?
Tremendous.
The movie's okay.
Brandi Carlile, The Joke, Donald Glover.
This is America?
Yeah.
Come on.
Drake, God's Plan. Or this is Song of the Year. I guess that's the same, right?
Song of the Year.
Different awards. But.
Song of the Year. That's what Shallow was up Brandi for.
Brandi Carlile, Shallow. Zed, The Middle.
Yeah.
Shawn Mendes, In My Blood. LMA, Boot Up.
Yeah. There's no way Lady Gaga's
No,
that,
I think you're right.
Right?
I don't know.
All right.
The point is, we don't think that this account actually had access to Grammy wins.
Well, and the Grammys say absolutely not. Not legit. Totally false, you guys. There's no legitimacy to this. Grammy Awards results are not even shared, even with Recording Academy staff members, until the day of the Grammy Awards ceremony. So they say. So, I guess we'll just wait and find out. And if you were one of the few that watched Fox's Rent on Sunday, you were joined by 3.4 million other total viewers, which made it the lowest ever musical.
That seems bad.
Yeah. So every person watching Rent Live could have watched it on one 65-foot TV.
Agreed.
So dumb. And in case you're wondering how it went up against Jesus Christ Superstar, which aired on NBC last year on Easter, that had 9.6 million total viewers, which, A, it was a holiday, B, it had John Legend, Sarah Bareilles.
Okay, so it's that.
So it had all those things. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to tell you the story just because of the title. Good Lord. Is Meghan Markle making Prince Harry grumpy and high maintenance? Now she's making people around her awful people. So here's the thing. We all know that she's been the subject of intense speculation since they even announced that they were dating. But she was credited with turning Harry onto yoga, green juice, and a generally healthier lifestyle. But new reports have emerged that allegedly reveal a much more nefarious influence.
Ugh.
These are real words, you guys.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's being a bit more to himself, not really talking as much to people around him like the staff.
Hmm. Is he trying to get away from the crazy pregnant lady?
They say that all of Harry's staff has always thought he was fantastic, but the two of them together are high maintenance. He's quite grumpy and aloof from his own inner circle of staff. He's always
Royal baby.
He's always been really pally with them, so it's very unlike him. What people love about Harry is he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's down to earth, a normal guy trapped in the royal world. And he doesn't take himself very seriously.
Are you still reading about the royal family?
Is. Yeah. No, I switched over 8 minutes ago.
Very good.
So, yeah, now we're blaming Meghan Markle for him being grumpy. How about you? Are you grumpy now that Danielle's pregnant?
No, I think we're having a blast.
Yeah?
Also, if I was, I would never say it on the air.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
I would just say it's a blast all the time. Because it is a blast all the time.
So you're really tired of your wife, it sounds like.
Nope, blast all the time.
Well, I mean, like you said, you would lie about it, so.
Well, no, if it was...
I'm reading between the lines.
If I wasn't, I'd lie, but I'm not lying here.
I can't believe America's Sweetheart Topanga is about to get a divorce right before she has a baby.
I lied, I would say it was great, but I'm not lying now.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
So you're lying?
No.
You're not lying.
Okay. I'm not lying.
All right.
There's no catch.
There's no catch. And a millipede and a roly-poly, very different.
Very different,
If we've learned anything.
We're hearing from a lot of listeners, apparently a pill bug is the same as a roly-poly and also a woodlouse. They're all the same.
All right.
And none of them are millipedes. Don't care.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
So we covered a lot of ground today,
guys. We really did.
Some would say too much.
Let's wrap it up.
Jensen, yeah. I can't wait to see what you're going to put in the Kevin Bean wrap-up this week, because there's a lot to choose from.
I mean, really, it's really just big pickings. I'm ready.
It's only Tuesday. Happy birthday, Sarah Gilbert, Edward Burns, Oprah Winfrey.
Tissue, please. I now need tissue.
Tom Selleck, Adam Lambert, and Justin Hartley, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. If you missed any part of today's show, you can get the entire show on the Kevin and Bean podcast at krock.com or radio.com. It would be worth it just for bizarre family heirlooms.
Oh, yes. For sure.
Yes.
Because that's one of the weirdest phone topics we've ever done.
The whole wrap-up is just going to be about those collars.
It's just insanity. On your drive home today, tomorrow morning, broadcasting live from Atlanta.